الاعتقاد في بوك كريد ان بليف كومبايلد باي الامام ابن قدامه المقدسي رحمه الله وفي اكسبلانيشن شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله. Then last time we had a section which began on this Egyptian copy on page 258 and went on to page 262. A section with regard to the wives of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the beginning, before that, a mention of some of the matters related to the companions in general radiallahu anhum, and then it moved on to a part with regard to the mothers of the believers, the wives of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who can remember from the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah, what is our stance in general, or what is our stance with regard to the dispute which occurred between the companions? What is our stance in that regard? What do we do in that regard? With regard to disputes which, or those matters of dispute which arose between the companions?
We don't discuss them.
No. But indeed, we withhold from that, and we don't enter into it. We don't enter into that and discuss the like of that. And Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahu Allah, he mentioned a reason for that. Who can remember the reason? And he gave a hadith as proof for that as well, showing that that we don't do that, we don't enter into it, and he's giving the reason for it and the wisdom in that regard. Who can remember?
Because of ijtihad, the Prophet ﷺ, whoever strives for ijtihad, and if he reaches it, he will see two rewards. No. If he doesn't reach it, he still will reward. So the basis between them is ijtihad and that.
Yeah, good. Said correctly. That is because, as Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, these matters which occurred between the companions, or arose between them from dispute, then whoever took part in these disputes from either side, both companions who took part, did so upon the basis of ijtihad. Each one of them striving to attain what was correct. And he quoted the hadith in that regard. With regard to such a case, the saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a judge judges and strives and attains the truth, or attains what is correct, then there is two rewards for him. And when he strives and errs, makes a mistake, then there is a single reward for him. Hadith supported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and amongst the first and foremost, from those who deserve this hadith to be applied to them, were the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For if anyone strove to attain what is correct, then indeed they are the first and foremost who in their efforts strove to do what was correct. So as Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, those who attained correctness, then they received two rewards. And anyone from them who missed out in those matters on what was correct, then they still receive a single reward. So there's no way for us to enter amongst those people. So if we enter amongst people who either receive two rewards or receive one reward, so there's no need for us to enter into those disputes and delve into them. No need for us at all. That's not correct for us to do so. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he also mentioned a supplication which the believers should make with regard to the companions and the believers who came before. What was the supplication that the believers make for the companions? They make their supplication for what?
It is related to when the says, forgive the brothers who precede us in any month.
No. The ayah, or the ayah was quoted, that the saying of the believers is that they make supplication for two things. They ask Allah to forgive them and those who preceded them in Iman, of the first and foremost, the companions. That the believers ask Allah to forgive them and to forgive those who preceded in Iman. And that He does not place any ghil, any ill feeling in their heart towards those who believe. So this is the supplication of the believers with regard to The believers who preceded them upon Iman, first and foremost, the companions. The believers make dua that Allah, and they ask Allah to forgive those believers, the companions, the those who came after them, and that Allah does not place any ill feeling, any ill, any hatred, any grudge in their heart against the companions. The ayah from Surah Al-Hashr, 59th Surah, ayah 10. Sheikh Fawzan also quoted, or he explained, some ayahs from Surah Al-Fath, which occur in the text. In those ayahs, a description is given for the companions, that they are likened to a shoot, which grows and becomes stronger and becomes sturdy, and delights the people who planted it in the first place. Shaykh Fawzan said this being an example for the companions. And then towards the end it was mentioned that this example of the companions, that Allah made them, لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ, Allah made the companions such, so that the unbelievers should be enraged at them. And Shaykh Fawzan mentioned an important point from some of the scholars, that they use this part of the ayah, لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ, that the unbelievers should be enraged at them. Fawzan mentioned that some of the scholars, some of the imams, they use this as a proof, as a proof for what?
The Shia, the Kufri Kafir.
No. Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that some of the scholars use that as a proof that the Rafi, the Shia, are kuffar, are unbelievers. Well, no doubt, that from one of the most apparent traits of the Rafi, the Shia, is that they have hatred and grudge and envy, which they cannot even hide within themselves. They let it out, even publicize it. They have hatred and grudge towards the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, as occurred in the ayah, they were made, the companions, for example, is such that they were made, لِيَبِي لَبِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. So that the unbelievers should be enraged against them. So some of the imams, as he said, use this as a proof that the Rafi, the Shia are indeed unbelievers. As a side point, we had that Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentioned one of these imams by name. Who can remember which imam that was? Who used this ayah from Surah Al-Fath, 29, as a proof that the Rafi, the Shia are unbelievers. She mentioned one famous imam saying that. Imam Malik, Imam Malik ibn Anas. Imam Abd al Hijra, Imam of Medina. He is the time to mention that the Iraq of the Shia are unbelievers, because they have rage and hate and hatred towards the companions. Then we moved on to the section with regard to the mothers of the believers, Ummahat al Mu'mineen, the wives of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiallahu anhum. That they are described as being Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, mothers to the believers. Does this mean mothers in every sense of the term mother? Do we understand that because the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mothers to the believers, it means in every sense? They're just exactly the same. Whatever rights and rulings a mother has, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have all those rights and rulings that come or not. Correctly answered, then Shaykh Al-Fawzan makes clear in his explanation that is not the case. No, they don't have all exactly the same rights as a natural mother has in that regard. Who can remember in what sense they are mothers to the believers? With regard to what? Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned three things, two of which are very similar. Shaykh Fawzan mentioned honour, with regard to honour and with regard to respect, that they are indeed mothers to all of the believers. The believers have to have such respect for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a person will have for his mother. Just with the respect and honour which a person must show to his mother, he must show that honour and respect to the wives of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, with regard to the prohibition of marriage, that just a man is not allowed to marry his mother, then it's not permissible for the male believer to marry any of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. With regard to that third ruling, Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned a reason for that. the reason for the prohibition, which occurs in text, occurs in the eyes of the Quran, the reason why it's prohibited for the believing men to marry the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his passing away. Who can remember the reason? Shaykh Baba mentioned that indeed it's because the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were his wives in this life, and they will remain his wives in the hereafter. So that has not stopped. There were his wives in this life, and their wives will be his wives in the hereafter. And he mentioned the ayahs in that regard, the ayahs from Surah Al-Ahzab, with regard to their being given a choice. Given a choice to remain with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and suffer the difficulties of life and the hardships of life in remaining along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or and the reward being paradise along with him, or being given a choice, they could be divorced from him, so they chose to remain with him and to have patience upon the difficulties of life, and they receive as a reward paradise. In what sense did Shaykh al-Fawzan mention, and he again mentioned three things in which they are not treated as mothers, three rulings where they do not carry the ruling of mothers. They're not the same as to a Muslim man as that man's mother. In what three senses, or in what three rulings? Hello. Not me, by the way. Yes, by the way, no.
In terms of hijab and Allah and travelling requires a Muslim to come
in. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that with regard to their covering, that a woman does not have to cover in front of her children. And a woman could be alone with a man who is her mahram, her son or her brother or son, her husband. So, and with regard to the man being her mahram. So in these three things, this is not the same with regard to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Non-related men from this ummah, they still had to cover in front of those men. They were not permitted to be alone with them in private, and those men were not mahram for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in those three rulings, they were not treated like mothers. Now, then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continues, or rather the explanation continues, because the text, we stop the explanation halfway through, because of the length of the lesson. So the explanation here of Shaykh al-Fawzan, rahimahullah, carries on with regard to the same part of the text, which came on page 261, وَمِنَ السُنَّةِ التَرَضِّي عَنْ أَزْوَاجِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أمهات المؤمنين. So as we had last week. And from the sunnah is to supplicate for Allah's pleasure upon the wives of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mothers of the believers. So we had the first part of the explanation last week, and then Shaykh al-Fawzan, as he said, he moves on to mention them one by one. He's mentioned something in general about them and the rulings in general about them. Now he goes on individually on what occurs on page 262. Mention the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one by one. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, at the bottom of page 262, in the Egyptian edition, on page 256 of the Saudi edition. So he said, وَأَوَّلُهُنَّ خَدِيجَةُ بِنْتُ خُوَيْلِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, beginning the list of the wives, and the first one of them was Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid, radiallahu ta'ala anha. May Allah the Most High be pleased with her. He married her in Mecca before the Biqta. He married her in Mecca before he was raised as a prophet. Then Allah sent down the Quran upon him and raised him as a prophet, and she was with him. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt what he felt as a result of the angels descending upon him and the revelation coming to him at the beginning, when he experienced distress and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared for himself, since he was experiencing something which he was not accustomed to and which he was not aware of, so that's what he feared. And he mentioned that to her, he mentioned that to Khadija. And when Jibreel alayhi salam first came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced fear of this unexpected event. So he mentioned that to her, he mentioned this to Khadija radiallahu anha. He said, قَدْ خَشِيْتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي, he said, I fear for myself. So she said, كَلَّا, she said, no indeed, by Allah, Allah will not disgrace you. Indeed, you maintain ties of kinship and you entertain guests and you aid the needy and you assist those who experience calamity. In the footnote they mentioned this hadith where this occurs, a long hadith where this occurs, is recorded by Ahmad in the Musnad and by Al-Bukhari as hadith number 3 and by Muslim from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. The long hadith which mentions the beginning of the revelation, and it mentions here the response of Khadija radiallahu anha, how she consoled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came to her and when he was afraid for himself, what had happened, the angel came to him, and she consoled him with these words, mentioning his good qualities, and that Allah will not disgrace him, Allah does not disgrace a person who has these good qualities. No, no indeed by Allah, she said, no indeed by Allah, he will not disgrace, Allah will not disgrace you, indeed you maintain ties of kinship and you entertain guests and you aid the needy and you assist those who are struck by calamity. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so she continued calming him until his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fear was calmed. Then she aided and assisted him during her lifetime radiallahu anha in Mecca, during the time when the harm of the unbelievers was severe, and she was at the side of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love her intensely, and he did not marry anyone else along with her during her lifetime, and all his children were from her except for Ibrahim, for he was from Maria al-Qibtiyyah, whom he took as a slave girl, or who was taken as a slave girl by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the point there, that all the children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were born to Khadija radiallahu anha, all of them except for one, Ibrahim, who was born from Maria, the slave girl, Maria al-Qibtiyyah, Maria the Coptic woman, from the Coptic people, Egyptian Copts. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to praise her after her death in Khadija radiallahu anha, even after she passed away, he would continue to praise her, speak words of praise of her. And he used to honour her female friends after she had passed away, and he used to mention good about her after her death, to such an extent that some of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ were affected by jealousy on account of his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioning Khadija. I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such great love for her that after the death he still kept on mentioning her to such an extent that some of his other wives, they felt jealousy for that in that regard. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends the point about Khadija radiallahu anha. Obviously always being abridged, he's not going to bring pages and pages, he's just making very brief, about each of the wives. So just in addition, I'll add to each of these, I'll add what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, what he brings in his explanation. He also brings just a small point on each one, some of which overlaps and some of which is extra. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said in his explanation about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, firstly, Khadija bin Khuwaylid, the mother of his children, except for Ibrahim. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her after her first two husbands, who were Atiq ibn Abid, and the second was Abu Hala at-Tamimi. Which was married before, twice before. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not marry any other wife along with her until she had died in the year 10 from the ascending of the Prophet, before the night ascent, before the Mi'raj, before the night ascent. And she died, radiallahu anha, Khadija, in the 10th year after of prophethood, before the night journey. So back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan brings, he said, and the second wife, was Sauda bin Zam'a, second wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the second one of the mothers of the believers, was Sauda bintu Zam'a. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her after Khadija in Mecca also. Marriage of her, I mean after the death of Khadija, then after that he married Sauda. And she remained married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to divorce her, and somebody explained and mentioned this, was when she became old in Medina. She was an old lady. When she became old, Sauda radiallahu anha, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought about divorcing her. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, she remained married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wanted to divorce her, she said, I will give up on my rights with you and grant it to Aisha. Means she'll give up her right to her knight and she'll give that as a gift to Aisha, radiallahu anha. And thus remain married to you. This was what she proposed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that her right to have a knight, she would give it up. And she would give it for Aisha to take that. On the basis that she would then remain married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that. As Shaykh Khawzan said, she wanted by that to retain the nobility of being from the mothers of the believers. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not divorce her. And he died before her. And she remained married to him. As for Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, then he said with regard to Sauda, radiallahu anha, that she was Sauda, the daughter of Zam'ah, al-Amiriyyah. She was married by the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after she had been married to a Muslim husband who was As-Sakran ibn Amr, who was the brother of Suhail ibn Amr, her previous husband, this man As-Sakran ibn Amr. She died at the end of the Khilafah of Umar, or it is said in the year 54. With regard to a number of these dates of death, there is disagreement on the scholars. Different dates are mentioned for some of these, as you will notice. So it said either she died at the end of the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, in the early 20s, the year 20 or soon after, or it is otherwise said she died in the year 54. And in case someone wonders, as a side point, why can there be such a difference? How can you not know that somebody, they died in the year 20 something, or they died in the year 50 something? Obviously, a lot of these matters were written down a long time afterwards. That people gave great attention to the hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, carefully recording the words. But as for the dates about when a certain person died or something, obviously not so much importance was given to that. Wallahu alayhi. Then back to the explanation of Shaykh Al-Fawzan, Hafidullah, he said, and the third one was Zainab bint Khuzaymah al-Hilaliyyah. Zainab, the daughter of Khuzaymah al-Hilaliyyah. He married her and she did not remain with him for a long time before she died. And two of his wives died whilst he was still alive, Khadija and this one, Zainab bin Khuzayma al-Hilaliyyah. They died before him, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So with regard to his wife, then Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Qimin, he said, Zainab, the daughter of Khuzayma al-Hilaliyyah, Umm al-Bathateen, she is known as the mother to the poor and needy. He married her after her husband Abdullah ibn Jahsh was martyred at Uhud, and she died in year 4, shortly after he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married her. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, go to the next wife, she's mentioned. And the fourth one, he mentioned them in a certain order, not necessarily in time order, not all of them necessarily, so he mentioned the fourth one was Aisha As-Siddiqiyah bint As-Siddiq. Aisha, the true and truthful person, or the true and truthful woman who attested to the truth, the daughter of As-Siddiq, the daughter of the true and truthful man who attested to the truth. Obviously Aisha radiallahu anha being the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. So Shaykh said radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her after the Hijrah. And there has to be a small side point here that Shaykh Fawzan said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her after the Hijrah. But Shaykh Basimeen and earlier scholars such as Ibn Kathir and others, they mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he contracted his marriage to Aisha in Mecca before the Hijrah. And they quote some hadith in that regard, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Aisha in Mecca. But he took her as his wife in Medina. Allahu Akbar. And that as occurred in the hadith about the Hijrah, as occurred in other hadith reported by Bukhari. That he married her when she was 6 years old, still in Mecca, and then he took her, began living with her, in from Medina. So anyway, back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her after the Hijrah, and he entered upon her when she was 9 years old. And he did not marry any virgin woman besides her. All his other wives were women who had been married before. Aisha radiallahu anha was the only virgin woman, the only woman who had not been married before. And she acquired virtues in being with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which were not attained by others besides her. From them, that the revelation used to come down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was upon her bed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love her intensely. So she was the most beloved of the women to him. And her father, this Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and her father was the most beloved of the men to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fell ill, he asked permission from his wife that he should be nursed in the apartment of Aisha. So he was given permission. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, died with his head in the lap of Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a great deal of ahadith and rulings. So she was the jurist, she was a faqiha, a woman of fiqh, she was a jurist from amongst the women. And she was counted amongst those who delivered verdicts from the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions used to refer back to her regarding narration, and they used to refer back to her also with regard to verdict, fatawa. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan makes the point, and the scholars differ about which of the two has more excellence, Khadija or Aisha. As for who were the best of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was these two, Khadija and Aisha. But which of those two was more excellent? Shaykh said scholars differ in that regard. Then he said, some saying Khadija radiallahu anha, and some saying Aisha radiallahu anha. The Shaykh al-Fawzan said, what is correct is that each one of them had virtues which the other one did not possess, and that it is not apparent which of them had greater virtue, since each one of them had virtues which equaled the virtues of the other. So this one had the virtue of precedence, being first, and of aiding the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that she was the mother of his children. Obviously, all this refers to Khadija radiallahu anha. She was there right from the start. She aided the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right from the start, and she was the mother to his children. Then he said, and Aisha had the virtue of learning and acquiring knowledge from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of teaching the Ummah, teaching the nation, the affairs of its religion. And they used to refer back to her. And the virtue of being drawn close by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his loving her with intense love, this is a proof of her virtue radiallahu ta'ala anha. As for Shaykh al-Uthaymeen in his explanation, when he said, with regard to Aisha radiallahu anha, Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown her in a dream twice or three times. And before he married her, he was shown her in a dream two or three times, and it was said, this is your wife, so contract a marriage to her. Allah, he said, this is your wife, so therefore he contracted marriage to her when she was 6 years old in Makkah. And he entered upon her and he took her as his wife and consummated the marriage with her in Medina when she was 9 years old. She died in the year 58. As for the next wife, the Shaykh al-Fawzan, from here he gives a very even briefer note from the remaining wife. So he said the fifth one was Maymuna bint Harith al-Hilaliyya. Maymuna, the daughter of Harith al-Hilaliyya radiallahu ta'ala anha. As for Maymuna, then Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh al-Fawzan just mentioned her name, read it. As for Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he said about her, she was Maymuna, the daughter of Al-Harith al-Hilaliyya. He married her in the seventh year during the Umrah of the agreement. after she had previously been married to two husbands. The first of them was Ibn Abd Ya'lil, and the second was Abu Rukham Ibn Abd al-Uzza. He consummated his marriage to her at Sarif, at this place not too far from Mecca, Sarif, and she died there in the year 51. In Maymuna radiallahu anha, she was married to, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consummated his marriage to her in a tent at this place, little place, Sarif. And then all those years later, she died in that same place, Sarif, that same spot, radiallahu anha. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and the sixth one was Hafsa bin Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anha. The sixth one was Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab. May Allah the Most High be pleased with her. As for her, then Shaykh Al-Fatimim said, she was Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married her after she had been married to a Muslim husband who was Khunais ibn Hudhafa, who was killed at Uhud. And she died in the year 41. And Shaykh Fawzan said, and the seventh one was Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anha, the one whom Allah the Majestic and Most High married off from above the seven heavens. Allah contracted her marriage to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan quotes the proof of it. He said, He the Most High said, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, Ayah 37, with the explanation, so when Zayd had completed his desire for her, we married her to you. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so the one who married her off was the Lord of Might and Honor. He the Perfect and Most High. And she used to boast of that over the wives of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She used to say, your family married you off, but Allah married me off from above the seven heavens. And by the sending down of the ayah, Allah married her off to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The evidence for this saying of her, or the place where this saying of her is found, the mention is reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 7420 from a hadith of Anas ibn Malik. As for Shaykh al-Fatimin, rahimahullah, then he said about her that she was Zainab bint Jahsh al-Hasabiyya. She was the daughter of the paternal aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what he means by that is via her mother. So as for Zainab bint Jahsh, her mother was Umayma, the daughter of Abdul Muttalib. Zainab was the daughter of Umayma, who was the daughter of the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Muttalib. So therefore, she was a cousin to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh said, he married her after she was married to his freed slave, Zayd ibn Haritha, in the 5th year, and she died in the 20th year. And there's a side point here, there's a narration in Muslim which mentions that her name used to be Barra. Her name used to be Barra, to the righteous woman. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed her name from that to Zainab. Then Shaykh Fawzan, hafizahullah, he used to quote the next wife. He said, and the eighth one was Juwayriya bint al-Harith. Juwayriya, the daughter of al-Harith, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Regarding her, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, Juwayriya, the daughter of al-Harith, al-Khuza'iyya, he married her after she had been married to Musafi' ibn Safwan. Or it is said Malik ibn Tahwan. It means there's a difference about what the previous prophet was called. Either he was called Musafir, the son of Safwan, or he was called Malik, the son of Tahwan. He married her in the 6th year, and she died in the 5th, in the year 56. And again, as a side point, Juwayriya, her name was also before Barra. Again, Muslim reports in the hadith that her name was also before Barra. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed her name to Juwayriya. So with regard to the next one, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the 9th one, Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. Concerning her, Shaykh al-Fawzan said that she was Salama. She was well known by her kunya, but her name was Hind, the daughter of Abi Umayyah al-Makhzumiyyah. He married her after the death of her husband Abu Salama, who was Abdullah ibn Abd al-Asad, who died from his wounds which he had received at Uhud, at the Battle of Uhud, and she died in the year 61. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions the 10th wife. He says, and the 10th one, Habiba, who was a Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith radiallahu ta'ala anha. With regard to her, Shaykh al-Fawzan says she was Habiba, her name was a Ramla bint Abi Sufyan, because her father was a famous companion, Abu Sufyan. Her name was Ramla, Habiba, her name was Ramla, and her father's name was Abu Sufyan, the famous companion. He married her after her husband had accepted Islam, but then he became a Christian. And he was Ubaydullah ibn Jahsh. And she died in Medina during the Khilafah of her brother in the year 44. Habiba died whilst her brother Muawiyah was a Khalifa. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, and the 11th one was Safiyyah bint Huyay ibn Akhtab. The 11th one was Safiyyah, the daughter of Huyay, the son of Akhtab. Concerning her, Shaykh al-Fawzan said that she was Safiyyah, the daughter of Huyay, the son of Akhtab, from Banu Nadir, from the Jewish tribe of Banu Nadir. She was from the descendants of Harun ibn Imran, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She descended, her ancestry went back to the Prophet, Harun, the son of Imran. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, set her free, and he made setting her free her mahar. Made that the mahar for her marriage, setting her free. After she had been married to two previous husbands, the first of them being Salam ibn Mishkam, and the second being Kinana ibn Abi Qutayb. He married her after the conquest of Khaybar in the 6th year, and she died in the 50th year. So then, after mentioning the list, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, radiallahu ta'ala, and her, may Allah be pleased with her. He said, two of them, two of the wives of the Prophet وسلم, died before him. And he, وسلم, died and left behind nine of them. In Hadith 11, two of them died during the lifetime of the Prophet وسلم, which were Khadija and Zainab, and the rest of them remained with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he died and they were still alive, all of them, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. As another side point, Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentioned two other wives who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married and divorced, either immediately or before long. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, he said, and there are two remaining whom he did not consummate the marriage with. And the rulings and the virtues which are established for the brothers of the believers do not apply to them. And they are, and he mentioned the two of them. Firstly, Asma bint al-Nu'man, Asma, the daughter of al-Nu'man, al-Kindiyya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her, and then he divorced her. And they differ about the reason why he divorced her. Let me mention something from one of the reasons that some of them mentioned. He said, and then after him, al-Muhajir ibn Abi Umayya married her. She was married then by al-Muhajir ibn Abi Umayya. And the second one was Umayma, the daughter of al-Nu'man ibn Sharafir al-Juniyya. And she was the one who said, A'udhu billahi minka. I mean, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her, when he entered upon her to take her as his wife, she said, I seek Allah's refuge from him. She said, so he divorced her. And Allah knows best. That's what's reported. Allah knows best. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, he continues, Al-Mutahharat al-Mubarra'at min kulli su. Those who were rendered pure and were declared free of all evil. Shaykh Fawzan says, because Allah would not choose for His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except the purest of the women and the best of the women. He the Most High said, Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithina wal-Khabithuna lil-Khabithat wal-Tayyibatu lil-Tayyibina wal-Tayyibuna lil-Tayyibat. Surah An-Nur, the 24th Surah, Ayah 26. With the explanation, one of the explanations to the ayah, the foul women are for the foul men, and the foul men are for the foul women, and the good and pure women are for the good and pure men, and the good and pure men are for the good and pure women. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah would not choose for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from women except the most excellent of the women. And Allah's having chosen them for His Messenger is a proof of their virtue, of their excellence, over and above others besides them from the women of the Ummah, of the nation. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah continued, أَفْطَرُهُنَّ خَلِيجَةُ بِنْتُ خُوَيْبٍ وَعَائِشَةُ الصِّدِّيقَةُ Bint al-Siddiq. The most excellent of them is Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid, and Aisha al-Siddiqiyya, the daughter of al-Siddiq. Shaykh al-Fawzan says in explanation, there is a disagreement concerning the most excellent one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was it Khadija or Aisha? There being two sayings, and what is correct is to withhold from this, or to withhold in this regard, and that each one of them had virtues which the other one did not possess. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah continued concerning Aisha radiallahu anha, التي برأها الله في كتابه. She who was declared innocent by Allah in His book. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and that is in His saying, He the Most High, Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithina, wal-Khabithuna lil-Khabithat, wal-Tayyibatu lil-Tayyibina, wal-Tayyibuna lil-Tayyibat, Ulaika mubarra'una mimma yaqulun, lahum maghfiratun wa rizqun kareem. Surah An-Nur, the 24th Surah, Ayah 26. For the explanation again, same ayah that we just said before, that the foul women are for the foul men, and the foul men are for the foul women, and the good and pure women are for the good and pure men, and the good and pure men are for the good and pure women. Those ones are declared innocent and free of what those people say. For them is forgiveness and a general provision. For them is forgiveness, for those innocent ones is forgiveness and a generous provision. And the side point, then al-Tabari reports with a good chain of narration from the Tabi'i Qatada, that he said, what is meant here at the end of the ayah, by what term is forgiveness and a generous provision, he said, forgiveness for their sins and generous provision in paradise, in Jannah. Shaykh Fawzan said about this ayah, and whoever does not declare them innocent, then he is a kafir. He is innocent wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Aisha radiallahu anha. Whoever does not declare them innocent, then he is a kafir, an unbeliever. Because he is denying the truthfulness of Allah and his messenger and of the consensus of the Muslims. And he said, referring to the matter of the slanderous liar invented against Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, and when the matter became severe upon her radiallahu anha, she said, I did not expect that Allah would send down Quran which is recited about me. Rather, I just expected that a dream would come to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through which Allah declared me innocent. The hadith reported, as I mentioned, by Al-Bukhari at hadith 4750, and referred to the explanation in Fath al-Bari, as I mentioned. In the famous incident of the slanderous lie, the ifk invented against Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said when it reached its height, that she hoped and expected that Allah would free her because she was truly innocent. She expected and hoped that Allah would free her and declare her innocent by giving a dream perhaps to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, I didn't expect that Quran would come down about me, which is recited, but that is exactly what happened in these ayahs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, however, Allah sent down the tremendous Quran which will be recited to the day of resurrection concerning her virtue and her innocence, radiallahu anha. Then the Imam continues with this part that will take us the last part today, inshaAllah. فزوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الدنيا والآخرة فمن قذفها بما برأ الله منه فقد كفر بالله العظيم. The wife of the Prophet, obviously referring to Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this world and in the hereafter. So whoever accuses her of that which Allah declared her innocent of, then he has disbelieved in Allah the Tremendous. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, explaining, because he is giving the lie to Allah and his messenger. Allah the Most High declared her innocent and free of that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared her free and innocent of that. So anyone who comes along and says, Yaqeen knows he's not free of that, is giving the lie to Allah and to his messenger. The Shaykh said, as is done by the Rafidah, قَبَّحَهُمُ اللَّهُ Ameen. May Allah disfigure them. For they incite trials and discord. لِأَنَّهُمْ مُنَافِقُونَ لَيْسُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. They incite trials and discord. Why? Because they are hypocrites. They are not Muslims. Not hypocrites of lesser hypocrisy, in which they say one thing and do something else? No. Because they are munafiqun, they are hypocrites. They are hypocrites, they are not Muslims. They outwardly make a show of Islam, but they are hypocrites, munafiqun, who will be in the lowest depths of the fire. So they spread this false propaganda in their books and amongst themselves. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the text to continue to the next point is about Muawiyah رضي الله عنه. We'll leave that until next time, inshallah. Clarification. You may have noticed that we're drawing close to the end of the explanation of Shafa'ala al-Fawzan to this book. There's a part at the end where a number of questions are brought, questions and answers, which we probably won't cover in the lesson. The actual text of the book is not very far now from the end of the book. It's about 30 pages away. There's only a few lessons left. So for those who try and get hold of the next book, then if the lessons continue, then the next book is likely to be, or is very likely to be, The Three Principles, the Sheikh al-Fawzan's explanation, inshallah. Any point of clarification? The actual wording of that Zainab bin Jahsh رضي الله عنها she used when she used to boast of the other wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and she used to boast that as for all of you then your families married you off as for me then Allah married me off from above the seven heavens and no doubt this narration is one of the many proofs for the people of the Sunnah against the Jahmiyyah and the right those who deny that Allah is the Most High above. One of the many evidences, the reputation of them, that Allah is the Most High, indeed above, indeed He is above, and He is above His throne, ascended above His throne. The hadith I mentioned as reference was reported by Bukhari, the hadith 7,430. In the book of Tawheed, obviously the end of the book of Tawheed. In the book of Tawheed. As far as we know, it's on inshallah next week. Obviously, the conference is going to weekend inshallah. Sometimes it goes on, just cleaning up, process and whatever. And the lesson on Monday doesn't happen, but I'm told so far, as far as we know, the lesson next Monday should be on inshallah.